Turn to 1 John chapter 2, the little book of 1 John toward the end of the New Testament. 1 John chapter 2. And just hold your place there for a moment. For the next 3 weeks, I'm going to be teaching from not this passage, but a different passage. This is just laying a foundation. Title of the series or the message is Temptation Comes in Threes. Temptation comes in threes, and this is part one. In 1 John chapter 2, beginning with verse 15, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever." Let's pray. God, without any abashed or ashamedness, Lord God, I come before you and I ask for your anointing. Lord God, because I have nothing to offer of life, of spirit, of power, unless I lean upon you, and I do that in this moment. I ask that you would speak. I ask that you would help me to speak what you have shown me in your word, and God, give me clarity of thought and speech and be honored in what I have to say. I believe it's the word that you have led me to and the word that you desire to feed us with. And I pray, Lord God, that you would speak and that you would be Lord over the rest of this service. May every demon be silent. May every thought that exalts itself against the word of God be silenced. May every hindering spirit and every distraction be cast down before the word of God today. And may the word go forth and accomplish that for which God has desired for it to be sent. Jesus, we stand upon that because you've promised it in your word. I ask that seed would be planted and that it would bring forth fruit. Make everything plain. Open the eyes of all of us who are listening, Lord, that we would have spiritual understanding and that you would reveal yourself to us. Jesus, you are everything to us. You are wonderful. You're everything that we need. You're the bread of life. You're our sustenance. And I pray that you would feed us today from your own resources. For it's in your precious name we pray. Amen. Now in this passage of Scripture, there are three things that are given as a definition for the world. Certainly he does not mean in this passage of Scripture the beauty of a waterfall. As we read in the book of Psalms, David was enamored as he saw the hand of God in creation. And he wrote about those things with great love for those things. And so when the Word of God speaks of the world, it's speaking of a system. It's speaking of that which opposes God. And it defines it here in this passage of Scripture. It says, "Do not love the world." And then in verse 16, "For all that is in the world," there are three things. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. If you're kind of new to this, please cast out of your thoughts that lust just has to do with sex, because that's not all that it has to do with. Lust is desire and craving for things other than what God has designed or desired for us. And so there's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. I'm going to move kind of quickly, but I want you to see a parallel here. It will develop really over the 3 weeks. But I want to mention to you that these speak to three parts of us that we have addressed before: body, soul, and spirit. The lust of the flesh speaks to our body. The lust of the eyes speaks to our soul, what we see and what we crave with all of our heart. And the pride of life speaks to our spirit. In other words, that self-will, when we are governors of our own life and we choose to live in self-will rather than in the will of God, and our spirit is dead to God, then that is the pride of life. It is that motivates us to do what we want to do instead of what God wants us to do. This also parallels the garden. You're going to see that this passage of Scripture that we're going to be looking at this morning in a moment reaches all the way back to the Garden of Eden and takes us prophetically all the way through to the end of the book of Revelation. And so we are talking about the temptation of Christ. But before we get there, I want to talk also about a progression in all of this that takes place in our walk with the Lord. We're going to see it in this. We'll also see it in the temptation in the wilderness over 3 weeks. You know, we talk about, and it all depending upon your background, if you grew up in the church, some of you will have heard of this, others will not. It's okay if you have not. But we talk about the works of grace, and there are really two that people talk about. Everyone doesn't agree that there are two, and that's okay too. There's this primary, the work of grace that is redemption. And truly in redemption, we receive God, we receive the Holy Spirit. You know, everything that He has is available to us. It's a work of grace, isn't it? It's a free gift. It's not something that we earn or something that we do ourselves. And then some groups call a deeper walk with the Holy Spirit, being baptized with the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit, a second work of grace, a second blessing, if you will. For many people, it comes at the time of that first work of grace. But for others, they've not understood the teaching on the Holy Spirit, not yielded to the Holy Spirit, not received His fullness by faith. And so there is a second work in that sense, a second work of grace for many people when they are filled with the Holy Spirit. But I would say that there's also a third work of grace, because the first work and the second work do not necessarily make us mature. I know sometimes that we think that we're mature when we think that we have been filled with the Holy Spirit, or we have been filled with the Holy Spirit. But how many of you know that we find that we're not too mature after all, and that it takes time to grow in the Lord and to become mature in the Lord? So I'll phrase these things this way: three works of grace. The first is redemption. And in that redemption, I satisfy, and this is going to be overlapping, paralleling what we're going to be talking about. It is to satisfy our lives with Christ rather than what we tried to satisfy our lives with before. Our lives tend to be filled with things in order to satisfy. That's that lust of the flesh. Until we lay that down and we come to Christ and say, only the bread of life can feed me. Lord, only You can change my heart. Only You can give me what I need. We come to Him in redemption. We're born again because we receive Him, and He is the bread of life, as we're going to see. The second work is sanctification, or the anointing, being filled with the Holy Spirit, but not just that moment, but the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, taking us from sinful behavior to holy or righteous behavior. How many of you know that when you're born again, many times you found that you fell and that you didn't stop ingrained patterns of behavior immediately? And so there is a work of the Holy Spirit called sanctification, where we let the Holy Spirit fill us, teach us, work in us, so that we begin to leave patterns of sinful behavior and to become more like Christ. We don't do it in our own strength. We need the Lord. And so it's a work of grace that comes from Him. Amen? The third one is conquest, or victory, or maturity. And ultimately, it has to do with dying to self. It has to do with taking up the will of God rather than our own will, in order that we might walk in maturity as sons and daughters of God. It has to do with laying down self-will, what we want, in order that we might be filled with the fullness of God. This is the pride of life. It means taking up the will of God. Paul phrased it this way. He said, I am crucified with Christ, therefore I no longer live. Jesus Christ now lives in me. And the life that I once lived, in the flesh, I now live by faith in the Son of God who died and gave Himself for me. It's a transference of allegiance. It's a transference of ownership. Yes, it should all come at salvation, but it is a progressive growth as we walk with the Lord. Now, with all of that in mind, I want you to turn with me to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. We come upon this incredible passage of Scripture that we have perhaps read with children.